ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
But now we look back and we see the things that our parents did in our lives. They weren't perfect, but they did it because they loved us and cared for us and wanted to protect us and help us to grow up to be men and women of God, hopefully. And our Heavenly Father is perfect. So His chastening for us is perfect for our lives. We're His children. And if He didn't love us, like I said, He'd do nothing. But boy, I'm so thankful He does care for me, because He's protected me a lot over the years. Now, here's on the other end of the spectrum, you might say. Satan doesn't care what you do as long as you're not drawing close to God, as long as you're not reading the Bible, as long as you're not sharing the love of Christ with the lost and dying world. Do what you want is his motto, basically. And it shows that he doesn't care for you. You know, think about it. There is no one who gets involved in alcohol or drugs or sex or anything that says, you know, I am not going to be an addict here. I've got control over everything. I'm the master of my domain, until he takes it the first time. And then he's in bondage to it. Satan has deceived you. And that's the key. Who are we going to listen to? God, who loves us so much. Are we going to listen to Satan and fall for his schemes, his lies? When Israel obeyed the Lord, God did bless them richly. And their lives were to be a witness to the lost world. But they turned from God, and they faced the consequences, and God became angry. Why? Because their sin was going to destroy them. It would wipe them out. You know, it's like Proverbs 14:34 says, you know, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a disgrace to any people. Yeah. Don't go down that path. Learn the lesson from the children of Israel. They had everything. You know, God had brought this nation out of Egypt. They were slaves in Egypt. Brought them out. Ended up by the Red Sea, right? And what happened at the Red Sea? Well, the Egyptians came back. They kind of realized that, you know, letting our slaves go is not a good idea. So they went back after them. The children of Israel had no weapons of war. They were slaves. They had the Red Sea in front of them. They had mountains on either side of them. And the Egyptian army with, I think it was 900 chariots, come in after them. In the distance, they can see the sand rising. And they were in trouble. What were they going to do? Moses, you brought us out here to die. Not a lot of faith, right? And Moses brings it before the Lord, and the Lord says, Moses, stretch out your arms. Opens up the Red Sea. Children of Israel cross through on dry ground. That water may have rose 1,000 feet up on either side. Egyptian army, he puts some darkness around them. They're having trouble catching up to the children of Israel. Keep in mind, 2 to 3 million Jews were fleeing Egypt. It was going to take them a while. He loosens the bolts on their chariot wheels. And that would be funny, you know. God has a sense of humor. And as they finally, the children of Israel, get on the other side, the Pharaoh and his army go right into the midst of the Red Sea. I don't know what they were thinking, but looking at those waters, and all of a sudden, they come crashing down. The entire Egyptian army is gone, including Pharaoh. All that God did, God brought them then into the promised land, the land that he had promised them, destroyed the enemies. And now they're going after what? The pagan gods. wood, stone. Gods that can't speak, can't hear, can't do anything. They fall, they can't get up. It's horrible. My God is the creator of heaven and earth. He doesn't need my help at all. He can take care of himself. Why would we turn from him as Christians? We look at the children of Israel. How could you do that? But what about us? And where do we find ourselves? They found themselves in bondage. And as we read on, we start really the period of the judges, the deliverers. And look at what we've seen so far. Children of Israel has this time of peace and prosperity, which is always dangerous. It led them into a period of sinfulness as they turned from the Lord and worshiped the gods of the people of Canaan. Now they're in bondage, servitude, you might say, to the enemy, taken into captivity. And here's the amazing thing about our God. We see the salvation that God's going to bring to them as they cry out to God in repentance. Yeah, it took them 8 years to repent. Some of these instances we're going to read in Judges, it takes them even longer. Some 20 years before they repent. Crazy. But God will deliver them from this bondage. Look at verse 9 here in Judges chapter 3. When the children of Israel cried out to the Lord raised up a deliverer for the children of Israel, who delivered them, Othniel the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he judged Israel. He went out to war, and the Lord delivered Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia, into his hand, and his hand prevailed over Cushan-Rishathaim. So the land had rest for 40 years. Then Othniel, the son of Kenaz, died. Mesopotamia was hundreds of miles away from where Othniel and his people lived, and it didn't stop them from coming down and oppressing the children of Israel. They spread out. 8 years now of bondage, the children of Israel cry out to God, and what does God do? He raises up a deliverer. Now, how sincere were they in their repentance? Well, I don't think they were totally sincere. Because when Othniel dies, they go back to their pagan ways, their wicked ways. But here's the thing, and this is something I want us to understand, is that when we cry out to God, when we repent of our sins, He's ready to restore us back into that fellowship that we once had, but sin destroyed. So God not only brings to us the ultimate salvation when we repent of our sins and ask Jesus Christ to be Lord and Savior of our lives, but He also brings salvation to the situations that we face really each and every day. Does God test our faith? Absolutely. To show us what's in our hearts. And I like Othniel. We're told that the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. In other words, he's empowered by the Spirit of God for the work he was to do. I think that God can use us as a judge in a sense, a deliverer in regard to the situations that people find themselves in. We can point them to the one who can deliver them. But we can't do it on our own. To do this, you have to be empowered by the Spirit of God. If you want to be fruitful in the work that God has called us to do, you have to be empowered by His Spirit. I think it was A.W. Tozer said that if the early church, if the Holy Spirit was taken out of the early church, 80% of the work that it did would come to a screeching halt. He said if the Holy Spirit was taken out of the church today, 10% of the work that it was doing would come to a screeching halt. That's not right. Our God wants to work in us just as He's worked in the past. Remember what we're told in Zechariah 4:6. This is the word that of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by power, or not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. And Jesus builds upon that. When He says in Acts 1:8, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Empowered by the Spirit of God. Yes, all of us as Christians have the Holy Spirit in us. But this is a power upon us. Dunamis power. And it's different. The problem today is so many people take this to unbiblical ideas. You know, you got to speak in tongues. You got to, be drunk in the Spirit. You got to be slain in the Spirit. You got to show me, book, chapter, verse. Just show me in the Bible where that's an indication of the empowering of God's Spirit upon a person's life. You won't find it. I'll save you the time. But you can look if you want, because you're reading God's Word. What is this empowering about? To proclaim the gospel message, to move the gospel message forward. That's the empowering that we need. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It's the power of God unto salvation, the gospel message. If we try to go out into this world and do things by our own efforts, could we have some success? Sure, but you'll never have the dynamite power that God wants you to have. And that's a key. Pray, ask God, Lord, empower me by your Spirit to just have that boldness to speak forth your word. There are, some things that are happening in America that concern me. And I realize that I'm preaching to the choir. You know what's going on in America. There's 100 of these in this list I found, but I'm just going to share a few of them to show you how far away from the Lord we've moved. As a nation that considers itself 80% Christian or so, which I know is not true. Number one on the list, approximately one-third of the entire population of the United States, 110 million people, currently has a sexually transmitted disease, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. 33% of Americans, and that number is climbing. You think, well, why does that mean we've moved away from God? Well, understand the relationships that are going on here. I can get rid of not only sexually transmitted diseases, I can get rid of AIDS in a generation. Man and woman marry, and in that bond of marriage, they have sexual relations and not outside. And sexually transmitted diseases are done with. Now what are we telling our kids? Have safe sex. There's no such thing. 33% of Americans have sexually transmitted diseases. Every single year, 20 million new STD cases occur in America. America has the highest STD infection rate in the entire industrialized world. Americans in the 15 to 24-year-old age group account for 50% of all new STD cases each year. 10 million cases within that young age group. Number 27, America has the highest divorce rate in the world by a good margin. For women, number 31, women under the age of 30 in the United States, more than half of all babies are born out of wedlock. Number 32, at this point, approximately one out of every three children in the United States lives in a home without a father. Number 41, most women get abortions in the United States claim to be Christians. Most of them. Protestant women get 42% of all abortions, and Catholic women get 27% of all abortions. Number 45, a Department of Homeland Security report that was released in January 2012 says that if you are anti-abortion, you are a potential terrorist. Explain that one to me. You're a terrorist if you are an abortionist because you're murdering children, but okay. See where America's going? Number 53, the last one. An all-time high, 59% of all Americans believe that the traditional definition of marriage needs to be changed. 59%, they have a majority. What does God say about marriage? We'll go back to the Garden of Eden. One man, one woman. God brought them together. It's as simple as that. Jesus even talked about that. In the beginning, God made them what? Male and male? That wouldn't really work, would it? Then we'd be in trouble. Male and female. He was showing us what marriage was about in the very beginning. So we've departed from that. Have we made our society better by departing from what God's word has said? No. We've now allowed the worldly ideas to come into the church, and we've hurt the church as well. We need to listen to what God is saying. And I realize, you know, with elections coming up, and I know they're, I guess, now less than a year away, we're going to hear so much over the next year, right? But here's the thing, and I'll challenge you to do this. Look and see, and I'm not supporting one party or another, Democrats, Republicans, whatever. But look at what they support. I would challenge you. Do they support abortion? Do they support socialism? Do they support the homosexual transgender lifestyle? For me, it's the abortion issue. The murder of innocent children in the womb, the place where they are to be most protected. And I don't care, Democrat, Republican, if you support abortion, I'm not voting for you. I don't care who you are. But I look at what's going on with the Democratic Party, and every single one is for abortion, homosexual, transgender relationships, and socialism. Even in the Republican Party, we see some of that. Here's the thing. Before you vote, you bring it before God. You look at what each candidate is standing for and say, Lord, help me to vote correctly on this issue. Because it's really what God desires. Are we going to put someone in office because they make my life easier? For Israel, they're going to pay tribute, so let's keep them in the land. It's not about my life being easier. It's who the person is that's going to support the things of God. That's the key. And people say, well, you don't want to get religion into politics. Yeah, I do. And so do our founding forefathers. Do you know in some states you couldn't be part of the government unless you were born again Christian? Born again Christian. Not just the term Christian, which is used very loosely today, but you had to be a born-again Christian to be even elected for office. Good luck trying to get elected for office if you are one today. How the times have changed, right? We've let the world come into the church, and the church now has not influenced the world. We've become so much like the world. Thus, look at the bondage so many Christians are in. And the solution is, like the children of Israel, repent and receive the salvation that the Lord will bring in the situations you have. Humble yourselves, pray. Othniel, one writer put this like this. He said, Othniel not only rescued his nation from bondage, but also served his people as judge for 40 years. This meant that he exercised authority in managing the affairs of the nation, and it was his spiritual and civil leadership that brought rest to the land. Never underestimate the good that one person can do who is filled with the Spirit of God and obedient to the will of God. That's it exactly, guys. You may think, but I'm one person, or I'm just a few people, or we're a small church, or whatever. You left one big factor out, God. His Spirit working in us and through us. God can do amazing things. You know, if you don't believe that, see me afterwards. I will spend some time telling you everything that God has done in this church in the last 25 years that'll blow your socks off, because it blows mine off. We're such a small group of people, and yet what God has done is amazing, not because of us, but because of Him. Can He work in our homes? Can He work in our communities? Can He work in our state, our nation, and the world through us? Absolutely. He absolutely could. Not because we're so great, because He is. And He can do amazing things. But are we willing to surrender to Him, to trust Him? When He tells us, don't go down that path, can we hear Him now? And not go down that path, and have Him lead us to where He wants us to go, to make those right choices. Or else we're going to find ourselves in bondage. We had a snowstorm where we had to cancel one of our services, Sunday services, and I'm going to give you this challenge. I know it's a week late. We're in the first Sunday of the year, but I'm going to challenge you to read through your Bible in a year. And maybe some of you already have a format where you read through the Bible in a year. Praise God. This is our 25th time as a body of believers going through the Bible verse by verse. 25 times as a body of believers. And if you need a format to do it in your bulletins every week, on the back page you find chapters in the Old Testament, New Testament. There's usually two or three in the Old, about one or a little bit less in the New Testament that you read each day. And at the end of 1 year, you'll be through the entire Bible. And if you start today, okay, 1 year from today, you'll be through the entire Bible, unless you catch up the first 5 days. We have it on our webpage. Read through the Bible in a year. You click on that, it's right there. It tells you exactly what chapters, books and chapters to read. Why do we need to do this? Because God wants us to know him more intimately, and he wants us to know ourselves. Because as we read God's word, it's open to us, it's opened up to us by the Spirit of God. And it shows us what's in our hearts, and it shows us more about who God is. And it sets us free from the lies that are out there. I guarantee you, if you know the truth will set you free, and it will keep you free from the lies that are out there. I can spend the rest of my life telling you about all the false doctrine that's out there. And there will always be new stuff out there. I will keep you informed, because I think Paul talked about that in Acts chapter 20, how he warned the Ephesian elders about the false teachings that were out there. So I will warn you of some of the stuff. But more importantly, I'm going to tell you the truth of God's word, because God's word will expose the lies that are out there. When someone says the God of Islam, Allah, is the same as our God, how do we defend ourselves? It's a different God. It's not the God of the Bible. We need to know what we believe. And there are, with social media today, it is amazing how much false doctrine flies. I had a guy I met at a conference that Calvary of Elk Grove put on. And it was a great conference. We had a great time. But I'm watching his Facebook posts now. And my heart's broken. And I'm praying, Lord, how do you want me to handle this? Because he's posting that the earth is flat. Well, how do I defend that? Well, I go to Isaiah. It's a sphere, God says. I hang it on nothing. It's very simple. But you see, there is so much garbage out there that they start believing it. You have to know the truth, guys. And as you read God's word, boy, it will set you free from all the garbage that's out there. And you know what? In the days we're living in, it will bring comfort to your heart. How many of you, when you watch Fox News, just feel peaceful and comforted? Okay, you don't. But when you read God's word, wow, his peace brings comfort to our heart. I think that's really important. And I don't want to be legalistic about this where, you got to read it. No, I don't. But I hope you have in your heart a desire to read God's word. And so if you don't get through the whole Bible in a year, so what? But just start reading it. Just start getting into it. Because he's going to open it up to you in ways that you will be blown away by. He'll start showing you things that will just minister to you and encourage you. And I'll leave you with this. The Lord is calling out to us. Can you hear me now? And I think he's turned up the volume as I see the things that are going on in the world. We need to hear God speak to us through his word. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. And Lord, just the lessons from Israel, how they let peace and prosperity cause them to draw away from you as they allowed being so into the world that they let the world into their lives and they left you out. But Lord, you are so gracious and merciful that as they repented, even though they were in bondage, they repented and you brought a deliverer to deliver them out of that bondage. And I pray for any here this morning that are struggling, Lord, that maybe are in bondage, Lord, that they would return to you, repent, and, Lord, see the salvation you'll bring into their lives. And for all of us, Lord, help us to draw close to you in this year. It's so exciting to begin a new year, Lord, and see all that you're going to do in us, through us. And, Lord, help us to be fruitful in the work we do. Empower us by your Spirit. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers. Breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.